Let's
Blog
do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Jermaine Man, Marvin Roan, and a crew. Guys, great show for you today, Power of the Black Family. We'll talk a little bit about Richard Williams and more. How you doing, y'all? Come on. Better love.
That's what I got.
Oh, yeah. Better love. There is no better love than for self and kind, no better love. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday, Saturday after Thanksgiving. I'm sure many of us indulged ourselves pretty good. But more importantly is if you had a few moments just to take out to figure out what you were grateful for, that's one thing. If you were at a position where you could spend time with your friends and family, that's even better. And third, and most of all, if you just appreciate just being alive, I think you got it going on. I think you got it going on. So let's find some things to be grateful for as we continue to move forward with our own empowerment. Again, this is African American empowerment. It's 365 days of African American empowerment. Why? Because we need it. We really do. When you think about all other cultures and nationalities and ethnicities, we got some things that we need to work out. We just do, right? So there's an organization for African Americans, the descendants of American enslavement, that can come together to say, hey, we got a mission now, and we have an agenda to say there's some needs that need to be met within our communities, and we're going to work toward seeing those things come to fruition. So the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American communities are met through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower each one of us. That's what we need. So how do we do it? It's the peace concept, right? We need peace in our lives. So I'll go through it really quickly. It's for politics. You have to have a political agenda. The good thing about it is more than five peace concepts, but you just getting this one for the show. You need a political agenda. You got to understand the system dynamics that go on in this country. Understand capitalism. Understand the political arena. Understand how it works and how you can have a strategy for making it work for you and your family and your communities. That's all you got to do. One. Two, you got to have an economic agenda. That means you got to manage your paper. You got to come up with a strategy that's going to secure your family. Right? Generational wealth is what it's really all about, but you got to have a plan of action. You do to keep that money flowing. And I'm not talking about credit. I'm not talking about credit. I'm talking about understanding credit, but you're going to have to understand how to manage the money or the material wealth and resources that come into your hands. You're going to have to do it. And then you're going to have a long-term plan for making sure that that thing works for your kids so that you teach them. We got to teach generations how to understand how to manage money in a capitalistic system. A is athletic. Here's the great part. Health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. It's mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. Where are you on the radar? Are you taking care of your physical health? Are you taking care of your physical body? Are you walking, running, working out, pushing away from the table? You don't have to do all of those things because you're a whole person. Right? You're not just one aspect of person. You are mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Are all those levels being taken care of? Are you doing self-care? Are you managing yourself? Are you regulating your behavior? You got to do all of that. See, the key is you have to be able to go to managing self and doing it well. The next thing is you're going to have to be able to have a cultural tie, right? A cultural mechanism that keeps you in boundaries, in lanes, so to speak. Your moral fiber. You need cultural programs to help our young people to have pride in themselves. Nothing wrong with that. And then education, which is E, is a comprehensive education where you're always learning and always growing. And that's what we have to do. We got to understand how important that is and to continue to do the work of working on ourselves. It's nothing at all wrong with that. What's wrong with having African-American empowerment after all that we've been through? And we have a lot of success. Don't get me wrong. We do. But we got to refine some and show up some things in our culture and in our communities. There's nothing wrong with that at all whatsoever.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
So that's so true. What we're going to create institutions that define our own reality, that make life really good for us. We got the tools now, right? We got the freedom now. Now all we have to do is be responsible and accountable for ourselves and start teaching, training, and developing. Teaching, training, and developing. Teaching, training, and developing. That's all you got to do. Do the work of refining yourself, helping your children understand the roles that they must play and how important education is. Education is so critical to the African-American experience. We have to educate ourselves. We just do. We really do. And once we understand how important that is, then we can keep moving forward. Back to Stan.
But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You know, Stan's right. We got to unify. So how do you unify a group of people who are so scattered in all different directions now? Right? We used to have what we called a village, right, where everybody kind of knew each other, right? You could, you know, they always talk about where you could discipline the kids and all that. That's changed. Now, for a new season, how do we make the adjustments, right? How do we find unity in community? How do we change what it is that we need to change to make the adjustments to make it work for us? That's what we got to be thinking about. Things have changed. Let's acknowledge that. The system that we operated in has changed, and now we got to modify that system to make it work for us, to make it work for this next generation. Teach, train, and develop. I'm going to go to Brother George for the Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch segment. And first of all, I would like to make this announcement. We are embarking on the holiday season. This is a good time to start setting some real, real goals, right? And then following up. See, it's one thing if you just set a goal, right? And if you don't follow up on it, all you did was set a goal. You have to be able to follow up on your goals, right? We call them resolutions, right? But what you want to do is be resolute about creating the resolution so that you can stick with it to see it all the way through. So that's my tip for today. Set a goal, right? Whatever that is, right? Commit to it fully. Be consistent at it, and you can't go wrong. I'm going to Brother George, Willie Lynch, and Kwanzaa. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. We're rocking with Brother George today. Brother George, how are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. Welcome. Are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderfully well. I always say it because it's true. I'm alive above ground, standing 6 feet up and not 6 feet under.
Well, good to hear that. Today
it is. It's good to be heard.
Today our Kwanzaa principle is going to be kneel, which is purpose. To
all
make
right.
our collective vocation the building and developing
of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. And
I like that.
I love it. I love it. You know, sometimes I think that we have to work with who's willing to work with you.
And that's true.
Being so concerned with everybody being there, you know, to do what you want done. And it might be, you might start out with a few, but I mean, that's how empires are built. You know, you start out with one country or one tribal group, and you move on to two, three, you move on to one country, another country, and you become an empire. And so we have to kind of look at that approach in this country with the situation that we're in now. Work with who's willing to work with you. Now, in the willingness segment, I'm going to read from a book that some of the people here should be familiar with. And it's called Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, An African Spiritual Union. And I'm not going to say who the book was written by. I'm going to let them say who the book was written by. If I'm pressed, then I will. But I'm going to start with the black race alone has not contributed positively to any civilizations as yet. And that's by Arnold Toynbee. Now, really what he threw out there was just a statement that he wanted to throw out there because obviously wasn't true. When a national historian says something, his or her words are considered credible even though they are a lie. Contrary to Arnold Toynbee's assertion, there was a nation in Nubia called Tarsiti, the land of the boat. Over 5,000 artifacts were unearthed. The most impressive was a stone instant burnt. Europeans, whites, start history with written records. They consider events prior to written records prehistoric. Written records or history starts with ancient Egypt. Starting history with ancient Egypt speaks volumes, for Egypt is the daughter of Ethiopia, and Ethiopia is a black nation. Egypt at that time was the most highly technical civilization in the world, and where people came to learn science, writing, art, astronomy, and all things considered academic. We know Nubia is in Africa. Why do we not know Egypt is in Africa and that it was a black nation? We do not know because Europeans changed the name from Kemet, which means black, to the name Egypt. Then they put Egypt in the Middle East. In addition, we do not know much about ancient Egypt because Gregorian calendar erased all that history prior to Greece. The Gregorian calendar was introduced in 1582. It is also known as the Western or Christian calendar. The Gregorian calendar erased ancient Egyptian civilization that came thousands of years before 1582. Now, that book was written by Brother Akevinat, and he's another brother that I've been knowing for quite some time. And
all right,
he's another brother that I read his book, and he can, you know, speak on that statement, you know, much better than I can because he wrote. And the idea, like this book that brother wrote, has a wealth of information in it. And Any one of us need to get that book that can get it, because it's a well-written book. He took a lot of time, you know, to put into that. And, you know, most of us on the line, I don't think they even knew that Kevin Land wrote more than one book. You know, so I wanted to quote from him today. And back to you, brother.
All right, brother. What's the name of that book?
Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. And
all right.
His brother kept it on the line today. He can give a way of contacting him. Otherwise, whoever, you know, just let the brother know that you want to get a copy of the book, and, you know, we'll make it happen.
All right. I like that. I do like to say, since you said that, I went over to my bookshelf and pulled it off myself, so I do have it in my hand right now. Books to Uplift Youth, A Direct Path to Learning Knowledge, Wisdom. Right? So that's our brother, Akebulan. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Thank you, Brother George. One quick question before you go. What's one way our people can begin to grow and change it? So the theme today is the power of the black family. I want to talk a little bit about Richard Williams, but he has turned two of his children into millionaires by teaching them a skill that he learned himself, not by actually being a tennis player, but he decided he wanted to teach himself and his children how to play tennis, and they became the best in the world. What would you say in terms of parenting or fathership or whatever you got to offer to that before we get started today, brother?
Well, you know, I spoke about the dad, and the dad is a figure that has been missing, even sometimes with the father in the household, still not a dad. And like a dad is somebody that's at your sporting events, that is at the spelling bee, that is there to cheer you on and make you feel valuable. And we don't have a lot of dads. We have fathers that pay child support, and they'll come and they'll get the kids, but is it necessarily like quality time, like dad time, that they spend? Or do they just get their children because it looks good and you're not considered a deadbeat dad? You know, I think that we need to have more dads, because that's what Richard Williams was. He was a dad, you know, and he fathered them. I mean, like, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen some clips, and they were having fun. They were laughing. You know, he made the experience of learning to be a tennis player also fun for them. And many of us, our children, we teach them things, but we don't make it fun. You know, we want to make it like, be the best ball player in the world, and you're gonna be able to slam on everybody and all that. And if I don't see you doing that, you know, you ain't doing nothing. You know, like, a lot of times, man, like that tough love kind of talk, it might not be necessary for your kid at that time. You know, it might be more necessary to say, hey, it's all right. You know, we ain't get it that time, but we'll get it the next time. You're making good progress. You know, sometimes that is more effective than, I don't even want to hear what you got to say, you know, because this and that and the other, you know. And I think that we need to do better parenting, man. We need to, you know, today I was just talking about the dad, you know, but we need to focus on that, brother, you know, being, you know, better dads, better parents. And I once told a guy that the greatest accomplishment that you can make in the world while you're here is to be a great parent. Because the way that you send your children out into the world, that's the way that they're going to deal with the world. And if you send them out there with nothing, they're going to wind up with nothing. So if you send them out there, you know, independent thinking, like, you know, I can accomplish whatever it is that I focus in on, and I did it before, and I could do it now, and I'll go in here, and I'll compete with anybody that's out there. If you send your child into the world with that kind of mindset, they're going to be successful. But if you send your child into the world like, I don't know if you could do it, you know. You know, like sometimes you this and that, you know, it's like that probably is not going to work, you know. And, you know, but parenting, brother, you know, is paramount. I always talk about the education thing, but parenting is paramount.
True. Thank you once again, Brother George. Powerful, powerful.
Thank you.
Powerful stuff. We appreciate it. I'm coming back to you today. I promised you last week that I was coming back, but I didn't, but I will today. I promise. Thank you, Brother George.
Okay. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Appreciate it. Peace. All right. It's Brother George. Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch segment. This is my favorite part. We have to understand how important our roles are in life right now. If you're on the planet, it's an opportunity. So let's look at what that opportunity is. We have to give back to our young people like never before. But we also must invest in ourselves while growing up and growing out. The word for today is teach, train, and develop. Teach, train, and develop. Teach your children, train your children, develop your children to be confident, to be loyal, to be committed, to be self-contained, right? But be good listeners, right? To be lovers of themselves and other people, right? So the first thing that we have to do is to see our own value. And then we have to evaluate our methods of engagement. And what I mean by that is we have to eradicate ourselves, many of us, of the slave master and overseer tendencies to developing and raising and teaching and training our young people and each other. See, if we look at it very closely, we still carry the vestiges of slavery, many of us, and how we treat each other, how we see each other, how we love each other, how we talk to each other, and how we engage each other. We have to evaluate that and have to come up with solid strategies that's going to help us to improve. We have to have better parenting and excellent mentorship because that's so important to the training and developing of our young people, to the development of our young people, to the development of the next generation. And we must see the value in it. Along with that, we must see the value within ourselves and be prepared to grow, challenge, and change each other and ourselves without becoming self-destructive, without becoming negative, and without becoming hateful. We have to do it. Today is our day. It's our season right now, and we have to understand how important that role is as African American. I'm telling you today, invest in yourself and your young people, and you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. We're going over to the laws of Mayotte. Thank you, Brother George.
The 42 Laws of Mayotte. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of my heart.
There they are. All I'm asking you to do is try one on for size. See how it works? You can stop eavesdropping or minding your own business or leaving people, wives and husbands alone and doing things that you know you need to do. That's what it's all about. It's about the basic principles of life and about living, right? You can honor that in a particular way that works for you, right? All I'm saying is just try it on for size. It's 42 of them, so you can just practice one a week and see what happens, right? The whole thing is, again, we have to have a moral compass in our community. That brings us back to love. All right, I'm going to the lines. It's party time, y'all. Line time. Here we go. I'm going to 1683. Are you there?
Yes, sir. My brother, peace. How you doing?
All right. Peace and blessings, brother. How are you today?
I'm fine, my brother. And yourself? You hanging in there?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm wonderfully well.
Good, 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 brother. Look, let me say right quick, start off by saying I want to modify your words slightly for today. You said teach, train, develop. Right?
Right, yes.
I would suggest we say teach, educate, and develop. And that might be redundant, but to me, training is what you do to your dog or your slave. You educate people so they can do for themselves, that acquire that knowledge, that wisdom. We're not training, we educating. And having said that, I think we folk in my age group, we just need to reevaluate our thinking and how we've done things in the past. And by that I mean, back in the 60s, we had a big movement. We said, save the children. Save the children, because we're expecting the children to save us all. And that was, you know, during that day, that was a nice old saying. Folks wrote songs about it, sung to it, and, you know, if we were all a part of it. But now when I look back at it, I think it was incorrect, okay? Say, yeah, we want to save the children, but the children expecting us to save them, not so they can save us. We need to save them from physical death and save them from mental death. They expecting us to be the light. As Brother George was mentioning earlier, the father, the parent, we educate and save our children. That's our job. You know, we need to be the example. We don't need just teach them and educate them. We need to show them. We need to show them the greatness that's in them through us. Don't teach them about it. Show it to them. Show them the greatness that's in us, that's in them. Show them in us. And then we need to show them how to develop a system. Show them how to develop a way of life. Show them how to develop their own medium of exchange. Show them the greatness. Let them see us doing these things, our greatness, because it's our greatness that's in them. That's what we need to do. We need to be that light. We need to show. We need to demonstrate it. We need to show it. They need to look up at us and say, oh, Lord, I love my daddy. I'm glad that's my father. I will do the will of my father. I will do the will of my mother. I give homage. I give prayer for my father because I see him in greatness every day. He shows me the greatness that's in me. I see it in him.
I like that.
You know, that's what we need to do. We need to go back to that. And I said, you know, we need to reevaluate some things that we say all the time. We need to start with ourselves. And we need to, walk the walk as we see on the street. Walk the talk and show them. So what I'm teaching you, son, I'm living because the greatness that's in you, in me, is in you. And let them go
like
with that. Show it to them. Show them. Show them how to build a nation. Show them how to build a world. Show them how to build a system and an economy. Show them the greatness that's in us. Don't try to tell them what was done in the past. Show it to them. Don't tell them how great our ancestors were. Show it to them. Show them in us. Because we teach them how great our ancestors were. That makes it sound like we're not great anymore. They were our ancestors were like that, but we're not like that. Yes, we are. Show them the greatness that we want them to bring out of them in us. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thank you, brother. I'll get back to you in a few minutes. Hang on. I like that. I like that. So the brother hit the point right on the head, right? Showing our young people, all you have to do is look really carefully at what they do. They're going to be, he said, educate. I'll take it. Somebody's going to teach them. Somebody is going to educate them or indoctrinate them. Your job is to develop your children. That's your job, not the school system. You. This is the truth. We have to become the teachers of our young people again with a system that works for us so that we can survive, right? A system and a strategy that will help us sustain ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. I'm going back to the lines, and I'm going over to 6306. 6306 coming at you right now.
Bring it! What? We rise here. 6306,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. And I was listening to what we were saying about fathers earlier. And I think about some of our young fathers now that we have, or the generation of fathers that we have. And I remember how people say that, you know, black fathers are not in their children's lives. And, you know, besides the point of, you know, our black fathers being imprisoned and stuff like that, our black fathers are actually in the black children's lives. They actually do more for their children and with their children than some of the other races. And there was a study that was done on that they proved that black fathers are in their children's lives. But one of the things is also with some of the kids now, their fathers were also gang members. So they're teaching them things that they learned, or, you know, or how to survive it, or you know, how to survive in the world that we're living in. So, you know, I think they're teaching their kids, but it's just the point of what they're teaching them and the fact that, that the fathers are in their lives. You know, they're present. They really are present. You know, like I said, minus the fact that if they're incarcerated or whatever the case, but you know. But we do have black fathers in our children's lives.
Yes, we do. Plenty of them. I think you made a comment a couple of weeks back about your neighborhood and how you guys cut your grass and go to work and come home and nobody talks about that. And I think that's another example of how much the imagery that we see is kind of slanted, and we have to do a better job of exposing that. Before you go, quick thought on Richard Williams. What do you think about the work he's done with Venus and Serena?
I have not seen the movie yet, but, you know, the fact that they show their father so much reverence and love, you know, enough to make this movie shows the type of father he was, you know, because like you said, I've heard nothing but good things about him and the movie, you know. I didn't hear like, you know, and I hate to say it, like a Joe Jackson. He didn't seem like that.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, and that's a blessing. And they turned out to be really good girls. You know, you don't hear about the drama that's going on in their lives, you know, as being celebrities. You know, because you need to think about it, with Venus, you barely even hear about Venus anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're always hearing about Serena because she's, you know, she's still playing and, you know, who she's married to. But you don't even hear about Venus as much as you used to. So, you know, he was a strong teacher in their lives.
True. So true. All right, sister, anything else you want to share?
No, that's it for now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you. Wow. What good stuff. I like that. So that's the thing, right, about where we are, right? It's the imagery. So how do we get in front of the imagery, right? Teach, educate, and develop. See, I'm listening, brother, right? I do think that training is important, but I won't debate on that, right? Educate is good, but the training that I'm talking about would be education, but it's home training. That's what you need the most. That's your foundation. That's why I was really leaning toward home education. Home training, showing you how to conduct yourself at home as well as in public, right? Preparing your young people to go out into the community and be positive and productive, right? And again, our children are going to emulate what they see and hear, whether that's Instagram or whether that's you. They're going to emulate what it is that they see, whether that's you cursing, fussing, and fighting, or whether that's you modeling great leadership skills in home and in community. I thank y'all for listening today. Great calls. So I want to stop for a minute, and I want to go back to the nightmare for just a minute, because I want to kind of speak to where we've come from, right? And so our ancient history is really depicting us saying this is what we saw it coming to. Our job now is to make the adjustments. I'll be right back. The Nightmare.
Thousands of years ago, there stood a great African warrior king, Ra Ursamayat Ra, Semtepid Ra, Remetsu Mariama. This majestic ruler who reigned for over 60 years, a legendary master builder and historical revealer, cunning and strong, corrector of both right and wrong. As he walked the streets of Kemet, the African people would cheer. And he stood one day at the Giza Plateau, marveling at Khufu, Khafra, and Menkaure. He recalled the pyramids that we'd built, 48 stories high, 755 feet wide, 2,003,000 stones, some stones weighing over 3,000 tons in the inner casing. This great warrior king marveled at the system of mathematics that he knew his people had created. And with a great ambience, he stood at the base. And he walked back down the corridor that he would lay the rest tonight. His queen joined him. But in the middle of the night, he woke up in a cold sweat from a nightmare. His queen looked at him, but she'd never seen him this way before, so she never said a word. He laid down again. And in the middle of the night, he awoke screaming at the top of his lungs. His
queen still didn't trouble him. But the next morning as Ra rose, as he gazed into the sun, she said, "My king, last night you were troubled. What was it that bothered you?" And he slowly and methodically looked up into her eyes and he said, "Last night I had a dream, and I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw black men killing one another. I saw black children disrespecting their mothers. I saw black armies going down in defeat. I saw black babies saying things even I wouldn't repeat. I saw the pyramid builders, once so wealthy and once so wise, now smoking crack and committing suicide. I saw an African queen being called a bitch. I saw an African king wallowing in the ditch. I saw black people who once loved one another become separated because of class, status, and color. I saw ministers of God lying to people who believe just to obtain a dollar is what they hope to achieve. But then things got so bad and it made me so sad until I screamed to God like I never had. And I cried, send them a message and make it loud and clear. Don't give up now because freedom is too near. You've been too black, too bold, too whole, too cold, too strong, too long to allow this nonsense to continue on. You gave sight to the blind when others could not see. You gave refuge to those who were lost and allowed them to be. You built pyramids when others lived in caves. You gave the world a year with 365 and a fourth days. You gave hope to the shameless and name to the nameless. But what will you do now that you're not so famous? Stop sacrificing your dreams for the illusion of security. Stop acting like a child and obtain your maturity. Stop looking to others for what you can do for yourself. Dust off your ambition and take it off the shelf.
All right, I'll leave it right there. There's so much in there. There's really so much in there, right? We haven't lost our way. We just need to reclaim it, right? Again, this is African-American empowerment. Nobody else, just us, right? Just a small group of people trying to find their way back home. So I say to you today, whether you're listening live or if you're online or you listen on demand, let's do the work. Let's get the work done of helping our people out of the condition that they're in. We didn't get here by accident, and so it will take some work for us to get back to where we are. If you don't mind, I'm going over to Brother George for a minute. Brother George, if I can call you in for just a minute. Brother George.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Real quickly. We talked about being the example, right? And I'm asking you this for a particular reason. The power of the black family, and we just saw a little bit of what Richard Williams did with his daughters to make them professional tennis players without having any tennis right. skills at all, just read a book. What do you think
right.
is the tools that we need to build community? Because I know you're out there, and I know you see it. So if you could just share just a few lines on what you think we need, because you're down on the ground every day.
Right. I still go back to, you know, what I said earlier, is that we need more dads in the black community. It's a lot of people that know their father, that their father, you know, they see him, and he pays his child support. And, you know, things of that nature. And that's, and I think that that's great, you know, but Richard, you know, Williams was a dad, you know, he put his time and his life into developing his children. He seen a goal for them in life and he wanted to, you know, take that challenge on. And he was able to be successful. And I think that if more of us did the same thing with our children, I think that we would succeed even more. Now, I say that to say this, that I read a book by Nadine Burns, and she was talking about what you call ACEs. She created an acronym called ACEs.
Uh-huh.
And many of us have ACEs. Most of us have ACEs,
uh-huh,
which are adverse childhood experiences. And,
yeah, that right.
And we need to have many more positive experiences than the ACEs. And when you don't have like a dad or a mommy, you know, in your life, but you have parents that are there, a lot of times, even though they're present, the things that they're doing is not pushing you forward. It's not encouraging you to be the best that you can be. It's not educating you to the world that you exist in. And it's like, it's nice to, you know, because my father did the same thing, my stepfather anyway, you know, like taught me how to fight, you know, told me what to do when somebody approached me, you know, pick up stick, brick, all that. Yeah, but then when I got suspended in school for doing that, I got punished. It's like, how did you tell me that's the way to do things? And then when I do it, I get punished. So that's like sending dual signals. And so
right.
The signal should have been to walk away. That's what it should have been. Should have been just
right.
Walk away from that. But I wasn't, that wasn't what I was taught. So I'm saying that, yeah, it's a lot of us that be involved, and it's a lot of black men that are dads. But it's not nearly enough, because if it was, then the community that we're in wouldn't be in the shape that it's in, and it's been like this for over 100 years.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, I think that that's what is going to have to happen to me. You know, we need more Richard Williams, guys that's determined like that to make their children successful. And I'm not saying that it's no more than him, because I really respected the brother that paid off everybody's student loan at Howard when they graduated.
Right.
I really respected the hell out of that. You know, I respected when LeBron James, you know, put together that money and sent 1,000 underprivileged kids to college for 4 years. I respect that.
Right.
To me, that's daddy. That's being a dad, because you're there, you know, all the way. So,
true.
You know, I mean, you know, like putting other black men down, that's not my goal, because I love
right.
My brothers, sisters. I love my people, and I have invested my time to prove that. It's not like something that I'm just making a statement and I haven't, you know, did what I said, you know, what I'm talking about, you know. So it is what it is, but, you know, that's my little piece, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. And I would like to say King George, because I've seen you pour into your boys. So I know what it is that the fathering that you've done, for example, and many, many others, many, many others. Thank you, Brother George. Continue on
thank
with
you.
The great work.
Thank
my
you.
Brothers. All right with me. Thank you, Brother George. All right. I'm going to the lines. I'm going to 88-82. Coming to you right now. The Empowerment Saturday.
Bring it! What? We right here. We're not going anywhere. We right here.
88, 82, you're live on Empowerment Saturday. You talking, I'm listening. 8882, going once. Going twice. All right. Well, we'll just keep right on going. So you got your hand raised there, okay? Well, they're not talking today, but we continue on. So, again, we're talking about the power of the black family, right? And that cornerstone of the black family is a male
and a female. Now, the family's dynamic has changed over the years, right, with a lot of additions and subtractions and a few multiplications, however you want to see it. The whole thing is, in a nutshell, is I would like to think that each child need their biological parents first, right? Because I've seen that you could put a whole lot of work in to kids who really want their parents. So I'm suggesting, from an African-American perspective, let's invest in the person that we're going to father or mother a child with, and then bring aboard another life, and then commit to co-parenting that life. Commit to giving them what they need to be successful, that they can carry on your name and your genes very well, that they can navigate this earth, right? There's no need for us to fool ourselves about the wrong things that we've done in terms of parenting, because we know what we learned them from, right? But now is an opportunity for us to use the models, right, and to be able to get ourselves in a position where we're successful. How do we do that? We have to be able to understand the systems that we live in and how we function. Again, our children are going to be a reflection. If you just look at all the killing that's going on in many of our communities of color, you'll see that it is a system in place, right, of how we have been trained and developed. And many of us have been bullied, right, mistreated, and that's going to come out. This is. So how do we continue to put forth the right kind of energy into our families and into our communities? Because what we see, what's apparent in Richard Williams, what's apparent in Jay-Z, what's apparent in Kanye West, and many, many others are people who decided that they were going to get off the beaten path and go and be successful at something. Once you get a strategy, once you get a game plan, and then create a goal. One other thing the brother mentioned is go out and research ACES score, just particularly for people of color, and do your score. Now, not all of our people have been impacted to have emotional trauma, but many of us do. And we have to have correction for direction. We just do. All right, I'm going back to the lines. I'm going back to 6306, if you'll have me. 6306, I'm going back to you, and then we're going to work toward wrapping this thing up. Coming back at you. You there?
Yes. Hey,
all right,
add to what Brother George was saying earlier about, you know, he's not putting the fathers there. And, you know, none of us are. But I don't know if I relayed the message clearly. But what I was trying to say was that, you know, like I said, they are there. They're just teaching what they know. And, you know, and all of us as parents have made mistakes. Like Brother George said that, you know, he taught him how to defend himself, but as soon as he defended himself, he got in trouble for it with his dad. And so, you know, they're doing it based on what they know. So, you know, you think about somebody used to be in a gang, like I said. You know, he's teaching them how to be out on the street and defend themselves, you know. And unfortunately, we don't have fathers like, you know, all the fathers aren't like Richard Williams, who picked up a book and said, I'm going to teach my child this, you know. And I think that's one of the things we really need to start relaying to our children. And I'm not just talking about us on this call, you know, because I know all of us on this call, you know, we talk to our own children, but, you know, we just have an older generation that's also lost, who does not know how to get that message across to their own children. They want better for them. They want the best for them, you know, but they only know what they know. And they don't always know how to go find that other information or what to do, or don't want to put in the work to find out that other information to teach their children, you know, to go in that different direction.
That's true. That's true. And that's why we need, you know, what's key about Richard Williams is he picked up a book and found success and picking up a book. And again, you know, in slavery, we couldn't read. So there is so much to education. And again, I think education is the key to African-American freedom and emancipation. What do you think?
Oh, very much. We have kids now that don't even know how to write a complete sentence because all they know how to do is communicate and text talk.
True.
You know, hello is a wave, you know, a hand waving, or, you know, they can't even, you know, they don't even know how to spell out a whole word. And that's how they write. When they do a paper, when they go to school, that's how they write because they don't know anything any different.
True. True. So we got some work to do. We got some work to do. Thank you, sister. You got anything else you want to add before we drop?
No, that's it today. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you. What a good show. What a good show. I like it. So when thinking about what the sister said is, we got some kids who can't read. How do we come in and supplement that reading that our kids get what they need, that they're developed, right? And that we teach them the things that they need to know, the basics first, and then work on developing them wholeheartedly so they can become the best people that they can be, who they were born to be. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It really isn't. Not at all. We have to understand how important it is to invest in our young people. But not only that, in ourselves. So I'm going to wrap it up for today. In just a minute, I thank you all for calling. I really appreciate the input and the communication. And I think that the more that we can begin to identify issues and just take the baby steps, right? Just like with Richard Williams, he decided to commit to his daughters. He decided to put in the work, rain or shine. And if you haven't seen the movie, go see it, right? I encourage you to see the movie, right? And again, no man is perfect. No woman is perfect. No child is perfect. But we are a work in progress. And so Richard Williams is a great example, right? However, not perfect in some ways, he still put the work in to invest in his children, that he put time in. He decided that he was going to commit to them, to be there for them, to be supportive. And like the sister said, they're not out in the street tripping, right? They ain't in magazines with half their clothes all off and all of that kind of stuff, right? They're not trying to buy into the system, but they're really astute businesswomen, right? And they got a great mom, too. Didn't mention her today because we weren't talking about the sister so much, but we're talking about the power of the black family and how one person can make a difference. So you can be that one person to make a difference in somebody's life. You can be that one person to make a difference in the next generation. You can be that person that just with a hey, a hello, a hi, a phone call, right? Positive words, a commitment to an organization, a commitment to an organization of your own, however you want to do it. We got to make a difference. We got to be difference makers. And I'm asking you today to make a commitment to become a different maker in your community. Make a difference in your home. Make a difference in your family. And make a difference within yourself. And all it takes is just a little effort. That's all it takes. And if you just take the model of understanding just a little bit of investing in politics and economics and your own health and wellness and fitness, checking your ACEs score, for example, managing your mental health, having cultural relevant activities in your home and in your life to strengthen you, to make you feel good about who you are and yourself, and do that with our young people as well. And then a comprehensive education that really benefits you as a person and you commit to it. And then looking at the 42 principles of Mayotte and just one of the 7 principles of Kwanzaa. Right? And just say, you know what, I'm going to study one of them and apply it to my life, and then you'll have it. So what we have is we have the peace concept, we got the Kwanzaa, we got Willie Lynch, right? The chip, we got to end the chip, we got to bring the chip down, right? So that we can change that program and become positive, peaceful, and productive. So again, I'm asking you, tell a friend about the show. Become a member of the National African American Empowerment Association. You don't have to sign no papers. All you got to say is, I do and I will. Come back next week. We'll talk to you soon. Peace and blessings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.